begin tonight. In your bulletin this morning was a green piece of paper that talks about 10 questions to ask at a Christmas gathering. If you don't have one of those, I've got a few copies. I don't have tons of them. Who needs one of these? If you did not get a bulletin, who needs one? I've got several here. All right, Sean, I'm going to give the rest of these to you. If anybody needs these, put your hand up. Sean will get one to you. As we think about, how many of you have had any Christmases yet? Has anybody had a Christmas gathering yet? Okay, I see one. Anybody else have a Christmas gathering yet? Okay, how many of you, by the time 2 weeks go by, are going to have plenty of Christmas gatherings? All right, right. We have lots coming. And so, as we think about where we are as a church family, some things I want to spend tonight thinking about is, how do we use Christmas strategically? Now, how do we use this season of the year to be who God's called us to be? God's called us to be salt. He's called us to be light. He's called us to be going into the world, making disciples. And as we think about entering into the world, as we think about these different occasions, to be seeing and using them purposefully. All right, so who else needs one of these sheets? We're going to look at this. Everybody, you're going to need one because we're going to work through it. Hands up. Sean's got them. All right, keep your hands up. He'll keep moving. As we think about this this idea... The first part of it is basically just talking about how we struggle to make conversations at Christmas gatherings. And sometimes it's not just, we certainly want to talk about gospel conversations, but sometimes it's just hard to even know what to talk about. You know, you've got the third cousin that you hardly even know their name, and you're sitting next to them on the couch waiting for dinner to start, and you're like, so, nice weather out, huh? Yep. Okay, now what are we going to talk about? Hey, Colts, how are they doing? They got beat again. And kind of awkward, and we think through that. And so a lot of things, as we think about just being purposeful and using these questions to help engage others in conversations. And I know that there's a variety of people that many of you say that, you know what, I'm kind of a people person and outgoing, and others would just say, that's not me. How many of you would say that outgoing kind of people person and making conversations comes pretty easily for you, and you actually kind of like it? How many of you would say that's you? All right, a few of you. How many of you would say that it's hard for me, and actually, if I could just sit on the couch and watch football and eat my own turkey, that would be fine? How many of you would say that's you? That's interesting. It's there's more of us more of you in that realm. But the recognition that we're called, we have two great commandments. The greatest commandment that God gave us is to do what? What's the greatest commandment? Yeah, to love God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the greatest commandment. What is the second great commandment? To love our neighbor as ourselves. And so I want to encourage you to, what does it mean in at family gatherings, at Christmas gatherings? Why initiate conversations? Why seek to get to know people and have these kinds of conversations? It's in obedience to God's call to love people, right? And so to love people by engaging them in conversations. And so as we think about these questions, this 10 questions, and the first one is, what is the best thing that has happened to you since the last Christmas? And actually, I like that this is the number one question. It's my favorite question of all of them. What's the best thing that's happened since last Christmas? Because it's like, think about that. And so I would also encourage you, as you think about asking these questions, for you to think about, how would you answer it? You know, what is the best thing that's happened since last Christmas? Number two, what is your best Christmas ever? Okay, you think, man, it's a Christmas. I got the Red Ryder BB gun. That was it. I didn't shoot my eye out. Maybe that was your best Christmas. Number three, what is the most meaningful Christmas gift you've ever received? And that's kind of a good question that you've received. You know, what Christmas gift were you given that were like, that was really meaningful to me? Number four, what was the most appreciated gift Christmas gift you were ever given? The next one, number five, what was your favorite Christmas tradition as a child? All right, thinking about when you were a kid, what do you remember about Christmas? And it's interesting, you start thinking back, and I even think about our kids, and sometimes people, what you think about, what was the most, their favorite thing, and sometimes, how many of them aren't really things that your parents like planned and put a lot of effort into? It's just something you ended up doing, you know, that there are things that are just meaningful to us. And so to interact with that, what is your favorite Christmas tradition now? You know, what is the thing that you do now? Number seven, what do you do to try to keep Christ in Christmas? Okay, and so these questions are kind of moving towards a spiritual direction. Maybe another question along those same lines was, what are you doing to honor Christ during Christmas? Number eight, why do you think people started celebrating the birth of Jesus? And that's a historical thing. They weren't celebrating Jesus' birth in 34 A.D., the year after he was crucified. And that came later. So it's a good question. Might be something for you to study a little bit. Number nine, do you think the birth of Jesus deserves such a nearly worldwide celebration? It's an interesting question. They might get a response, but it's like, no way, I think it's way over the top, all this Jesus stuff. Or they might be, I don't even know what you mean by that. And interesting. Number 10, why do you think Jesus came to earth? So just some questions to help us to be purposeful. Now, what I would like you to do before we're going to jump into a few verses in Ephesians, and we're just going to take a few minutes tonight to look in Ephesians, what I'd like for you to do is think, and so what I want, this sheet is a homework assignment for you, and what I would like you to do is to turn it over, and there should be a nice blue pen that we just got recently, these blue and black pens in a pew close to you, and or you can use your own pen. You don't have to use that pen. And I would encourage you to write the names of three people that you will seek to engage in a spiritual conversation. Okay, so your home right now, just like turn it over, and I'd like for you to think, who are three people that you're going to see over Christmas at some different gatherings? Who are three people that you would like to have a spiritual conversation with in the next few weeks? All right, so take a couple minutes and think through that and write down some names. I'm not going to ask you anything weird with these names, by the way. All right, I'm going to ask you to pray for it. So I'm not setting you up for anything. You're like, what's he doing? Okay, this is for you. Right, what I want to encourage you to do, where that green sheet or white sheet probably was before, I want to encourage you to open up your Bible with me to Ephesians chapter 6. What I want to encourage you to do is to put this piece of paper in Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to look at a passage, it's a familiar passage to us, but I want you to keep it in your Bible so when you're opening up your Bible and to do the reading in the next few weeks, that the paper's there to remind you to be praying for these individuals and to be praying that God would open a door so you'd have an opportunity to have a spiritual conversation with the person that you're, the people that you put on the list. Okay, so what I want to do, I want to take a few minutes and look at Ephesians chapter 6. And in this big passage in chapter 6, verses 10 to 20, but where I want to focus, and we're going to start here and then we're going to back up, in chapter 6, verse 18 of Ephesians, it says this, in verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. All right? And this big idea, pray when? At all times, all right? We're praying at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert. Okay, so we're praying with an alertness, okay, with alertness and with perseverance and petition for all the saints. And so, who are the saints? Good, they're believers, okay? It's not people that have statues made out of them. No, saints are believers. Anybody who has confessed Jesus Christ as their Savior, have been born again, received the full righteousness of Jesus Christ, and are made declared righteous and holy in God's sight, therefore they're saints. And so, the call is for us to be praying for one another, okay? That we pray. We're going to pray for the people on our list that may not know Christ, but also the encouragement is us for to be praying for each other in the body of Christ, that we pray for all the saints, verse 19, and pray on my behalf. Paul says, and pray for me, okay? Which is amazing, because how sometimes we are kind of reluctant to ask other people to pray for us. But this is the Apostle Paul calling people to pray for him. And what's he asking to pray for? Pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And it's interesting because he describes himself in the middle part of verse 20. What does he describe himself? That he is a what in chains? An ambassador. Okay, Jesus is an ambassador. We would look, if we would turn over to 2 Corinthians 5, we hear that same terminology as an ambassador. Who else is an ambassador of Jesus Christ? We are, all are, as a follower in Jesus Christ. If you profess Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are an ambassador, a representative of Jesus. And we are to represent Jesus in the manner in which we live our lives. We are to reflect Jesus as ambassadors in the way that we conduct ourselves and converse, but also we are to be ambassador of Jesus with His message. Right? We have been entrusted with a message. We are ambassadors. We think about what does an ambassador to the United States do in other parts of the world? They represent us. Everything they do represents us as a country. As ambassadors of Jesus Christ, that's who we are. Paul says he's an ambassador. We are ambassadors. As an ambassador, the Apostle Paul, what is he praying? He says, praying that God would give me in the opening of my mouth this utterance. God, give me the words to say. Lord, help my words to be seasoned. Help my words to be able to ask good questions, to engage people in a way that that helps them to think about you, to soften their heart. And so we pray that an utterance may be given in the opening of my mouth to make known the mystery of the gospel. Okay, so what's the content? The message is the gospel. And so he wants wisdom. He wants help to do that. And he says that we're praying with what? At the end of verse 19, that as he opens his mouth, there's a prepositional phrase about the mystery of Christ. How does he want to do this? With boldness. I don't know about you, but my stereotype of the Apostle Paul is that he's already a bold guy. I mean, he goes in and proclaims the gospel with great boldness, without fear and trembling. He loves God so much, he goes in, and there's no reason for us to pray for him for boldness because that's just his bent. And yet, what is he asking for right here? Boldness. We need bold, because is it awkward and sometimes scary to move a conversation in a direction of a spiritual nature? Yeah, because we don't know how people are going to respond. We don't know how they're going to respond, and so there's uncertainty on our part. There can be some fear on our part. But as we pray, as we think about the people on your list, the three people, to be praying that God would open an opportunity for you to talk to them about spiritual things and point them to Christ, but to also be praying, God, give me boldness. Because God, inside, I may be sitting next to him, and on the outside, I look calm, cool, and collected, but as I think about having a spiritual conversation, my spiritual knees are knocking, right? And I'm a little reluctant to do this, but with boldness. And he goes on then, he says in verse 20, as an ambassador in chains, that he may speak, how? At the end, in the middle of verse 20, how's he also, that he may speak how? Boldly. Same idea, right? I mean, two times in two verses. How does he speak? I need boldness. I need boldness. Help me to do that. And that would be a part of our prayer. Because what is it that typically keeps us from talking with other people about spiritual things, about the gospel? Fear? Uncertainty? How they're going to respond? What do we need in that? We need boldness. Okay? And so we'd be praying for boldness, that we would speak, and I like how he finishes it, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I mean, how should we be speaking of Christ? With boldness and confidence. Why? Because he's equipped us. Greg shared earlier, he's given us everything we need for life and godliness. We are fully equipped. We've been given the Word of God. We've been given the Spirit of God. Okay, and so what do we lack that would help us to be bold? We lack nothing. Right? So we'd pray for boldness. And so as we think about this context of boldness, let's back up a little bit and see some reasons why we have boldness. And we're going to look through this passage very briefly, but it says in verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord. Ties this boldness. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Okay, and so the Apostle Paul's not saying, hey, suck it up, be tough. Basically, he's saying, hey, you need to depend on the power that I've given to you through the Spirit of God. Okay, it's my power. So finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. And by the way, how strong is His might? Do we lack anything when it comes to His strength? We lack nothing, right? We have every reason to have great boldness and great strength. So finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. And in verse 11, he says, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And so as I think about us stepping into these next few weeks where we're going to be around a lot of family, a lot of people with opportunities to communicate the gospel, that we would go with boldness, that we would also get dressed for the occasion. You're going to go to Christmas gatherings and you're going to get dressed for it, obviously. Okay? And some of you are going to think about, what am I going to wear? I want to look nice for this thing or whatever. And you're preparing what you're going to wear as you go to these gatherings. I want to encourage you to get dressed spiritually as well. How do we get dressed? Putting on this full armor of God. So why? So we can stand firm. In verse 12, it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of darkness and the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. He's telling us there is a real spiritual battle going on. I mean, think about it. Oftentimes you'll share with me that you're seeking to have a spiritual conversation with somebody and it just seems to continually get interrupted. Or something happens and it kind of keeps derailing and you're planning to talk to this person and they don't show up and you're thinking, why is it so hard? Well, it's so hard, first of all, it is certainly because sometimes we lack the boldness we need, but we also realize when we are seeking to have spiritual conversation to bring light into the darkness of someone's life, do you think there's spiritual opposition to that? Absolutely. All these spiritual forces of evil, they are opposed to all of that. And why? Because the darkness hates the light. And so we need to realize this is a real spiritual battle. It's not simply about me stirring up the boldness to go speak. I have to realize that this is, I mean, listen, this is eternal struggle going on in the hearts of people. That's what's going on. This is more than just a conversation over the snack food at the Christmas gathering, right? There's a lot going on. And so this struggle, it's not against flesh and blood. These people aren't our enemies. They're the mission field, but we do have a real enemy. There's a real battle going on. And it says, therefore, in verse 13, therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. Verse 14, stand firm, therefore. Now, let's stop here. At the end of verse 13, it says stand firm. At the beginning of verse 14, it says stand firm. At the last part of verse 11, it tells us to do what? To put on the full armor of God so that we are able to do what? Stand firm. Do you think there's a point he's trying to make? Yeah, stand firm, stand firm, stand firm. How do we stand firm? By being dressed for the spiritual engagement. Therefore, he says, having girded your loins with the truth, okay, the truth, and we've several of you talked about God's Word filling us, okay, we're girded, we're ready to go with the Word of God. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is what is protecting us and gives us great security. It is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's why in Romans 8 we can say that there is neither height nor depth nor things present or things to come or anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God. Why not? Because we have been clothed with this breastplate of righteousness of Jesus Christ. Right? It's there. It's tough. Verse 15, and having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we think about the gospel brings peace. And we've talked about the last few weeks, the peace with God. It brings peace with other people and peace in our circumstances. The gospel does all of that. All right? Our feet ready for that. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which will be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And again, that what is our weapon? Our weapon is the Word of God. It's the sword. And we are to be prepared with the gospel of peace that ties into this idea of the Word. And why is the Word central to all this? Let's turn back a couple books to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Our feet shod with the gospel, that the sword is the Word of God, that that is our weapon. Why is the Word and the Gospel, why are they so essential? Romans chapter 10, verse 9, we'll begin there. And it says this, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, this is Romans 10, 9, God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. There's that idea again, the blessed prayer of righteousness. Why do we stand firm? We receive the righteousness of Jesus by repentance and faith. Okay, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Okay, so we confess with our mouth, believe in our heart. Verse 11, for Scripture says, whoever believes in His name will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in the riches for all who call upon Him. And verse 13, for whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay, and as we think about engaging with our unsaved loved ones and thinking about planting and watering seeds and casting it out, that we want to do that so ultimately they will be saved. But in verse 14, we're told the significance of why do I need the sword of the Lord, this Word of God? Why do I need my feet ready with the Gospel? Verse 14, for how will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe on Him in whom they have not what? Heard. They must hear. And how will they hear without a preacher, without somebody declaring it? Okay, so they're not going to hear if nobody's talking. Which I would just pause that we look at the state of our nation and the concerns that we have and the moral decay going on. I really believe that why is it such a mess? I largely believe it's because the church and individual church members that we are not speaking the gospel to our lost friends and loved ones. The church is largely muted because of fear, because we don't know how people are going to respond. But they're not, people aren't going to be saved. Listen, people are not going to be saved by us living good lives. You know, there is the Francis of Assisi is wrongly stated of saying, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Okay, he never said that. People think that I'm going to just live the gospel. Well, you do live the gospel, but nobody believes the gospel and is saved because they watch your life. Nobody's going to stand before Jesus and say, well, why should I let you in heaven? Well, because I watched Steve's life and he lived such a godly life, I thought you were pretty cool. And that's not it. Because it goes on. He says, how will they preach unless they are sent? And just as written, and how beautiful are the feet of those who, what? Bring good news of good tidings. However, not all heed the good news. Which isn't that an encouragement? I want to just encourage you, recognizing there are times we're going to have spiritual conversations, we're going to share the gospel with others, and they're going to reject it. Should we be surprised? Now, he just told us right here that there are people that they're not all going to believe, right? And so he goes on and says, the Lord who has believed our report. So here's the key. So faith comes by what? Hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of truth, right? And this idea, how are people going to hear? And for us to think about these people on the back of your sheet of paper, those three people, I want to encourage you to be dressed, the full armor of God, equipped, being purposeful, utilizing questions from the front side to engage them in spiritual conversations. And one last verse I want us to look at, short little passage in Colossians chapter 3. And I'm thinking of Colossians chapter 3. As we think about Ephesians 6, that's all the outward clothing in Colossians chapter 3. These are like what's underneath our armor. Okay? And this clothing that we get dressed with, this clothing as we enter into spiritual battle. Because we don't simply enter into spiritual battle as warriors to defeat people. Okay? We enter into it as loving servants and ambassadors of Jesus Christ who are seeking to convince people of the truthfulness of the gospel so that they will repent and believe. And so what kind of attitude, what other kind of clothes do we need on? Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. And it helps us to see this. And I want to encourage you as we think about sharing Christ at Christmas, talking about these 10 questions, praying for boldness, that these truths would also undergird us. And it says in verse 12, "So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved," another way of saying that is, as saints, okay, "as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on," and here's our clothing, "a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you." Beyond all of these things, and this what ties all these clothes together, beyond all these, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, indeed, but you are called in one body, and be thankful." I mean, think about these characteristics. You're showing up at your Christmas celebration with friends, and you've got the armor of God on, and you're seeking to have spiritual conversations, and you're clothed, and you are seeking, "I'm going to be super compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, patient, forgiving. I'm going to be loving, and I'm going to be thankful as well, grateful for what God's done for me. Pride is out the door. Great humility, that's clothing us." And then in verse 16, what else? "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Richly dwelling in us, that we are soaking, we're saturated with the word of God, "with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with all wisdom, and with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts." And in verse 17, as we step into all these different opportunities we have over the next few weeks, verse 17, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all," how? "In the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to Him through God the Father." And so, as we spend time tonight, we spend time singing about Christmas, we spend time giving praise to God for how we've seen Him work, my encouragement and your homework tonight is to take this list, keep it tucked into your Bible, and so when you do your Bible reading over these next few weeks, that you will pull it out, praying for these individuals, thinking about getting some of these questions or maybe developing some questions of your own to think, how am I going to purposefully use these opportunities to love on my brothers and sisters in my family, literal brothers and sisters, my aunts and uncles and cousins and neighbors? How am I going to do that? How can I share Christ at Christmas? All right, so you understand the homework. You've got your names, list of three. You've got the questions. Be praying for them. And I would encourage you, as this unfolds, as you have opportunities, I would love to hear how that goes. So if you have opportunity to have a conversation, somebody you're praying about, send me a note. Let us know what you're doing and how that goes. All right, let's pray. Father, we rejoice. We rejoice that you are a good and a gracious God. As we have shared praises tonight, Lord, that we have echoed a common theme, and that common theme is that you sustain us and strengthen us in whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to help us to be men and women, that we would be students of your word, saturated in your truth. And as we're saturated in your truth, we'd also become equipped, that we would get dressed with the armor of God, but also dressed with the character of Christ. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us purpose, that you'd help us to be intentional as we step into different Christmas and New Year's and holiday gatherings, that we would be your ambassadors, loving people. And so we're enjoying them, and we're going to talk about football, we're going to talk about the weather, we're going to talk about our kids, and we're going to talk about school, we're going to talk about all of those things. But God, I pray as well that you would help us to lovingly and wisely steer those conversations to spiritual things, to help people to think about you, about the gospel, about the glorious things you've done for us. And Lord, as we come, as we prepare to celebrate your first coming, God, I pray also, as we shared this morning, that we would have our eyes fixed on you and knowing that your first coming isn't the end of the story, that we would, as the book of Revelation ends, that we would be praying, Lord, that you would come soon. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.